welcome to the Labrador podcast from Tales of Success Labrador Training. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 35 of the Labrador podcast. So the Labrador podcast is the official podcast from Tales of Success Labrador Training. In this episode, I'm going to be answering a question that came in over on our Instagram account. I want to share my thoughts on it because I know it's going to be a big thing for probably quite a few of you that are listening. The question that came in was, how do I tackle reactivity to the doorbell and to visitors? Because currently it's absolute chaos. Now, I'm going to have to give this the usual warning that whatever I say in the episode is very general. It's general information and it's not necessarily right for each dog or each situation. Now, the dog in question, I've never met in person. I don't know anything at all about their home setup, and I've also not witnessed the behaviour for myself. But hopefully what I say may be helpful to them, but also to you if you're experiencing similar sort of issues. So let's get going. Whenever we look at any behavioural challenge, whatever it is, we've got to really look at what's causing that problem, what triggers the behaviour, and what really gets the dog performing the behaviour that they are doing, and in this case, it's barking. We should only start working through any behavioural challenge when we know that bit of information, and that's no different at all to this particular question. We've really got to understand what's causing it. So we're going to start off by looking at the why. Why is the dog reacting to the doorbell and visitors? Essentially, we need to look at why it's happening. So first of all, could this behavior be an emotional response? Dogs can react to these situations due to loads and loads of different emotions, and it could be things like fear, anxiety, excitement, uncertainty, anger, joy, frustration, and a million other responses, emotional responses that you can think of, really. It's essential to understand what your dog is feeling. So if you do have this similar sort of problem, if you catch your dog displaying this undesirable behavior, just take a moment to read their body language, to see what they do when they're barking, and then observe any other clues that they're likely to give you. It's going to help you figure out the emotions that are really driving their actions. And you know your dog better than anyone else. So hopefully you can see whether they're fearful. You can see whether they're excited, stressed, or any other emotion that might be involved in their behavior. Secondly, this could be happening because actually it's a learned behavior. Sometimes we as humans unintentionally teach our dogs to get excited when visitors come to the door. I know that sounds a bit bonkers because you've probably not gone out of your way to convince your dog that they should bark at every visitor that comes to the house. But actually, the routines and the habits that we as humans have could have taken care of that for you. So an example of that might be that if the Amazon delivery driver rings your doorbell, you probably drop everything you're doing and rush straight to the door. And you've probably got a good bit of enthusiasm because it's an exciting parcel and you want to get there nice and quickly. Your dog, who is fast asleep on his bed at the time, picks up on that. They pick up on what you're doing and they think that rushing to the door with excitement is the right response. That's what they've seen you do. And guess what? Next time they hear that doorbell, they're going to remember that and they're going to join in and they're going to rush straight to the door with a huge amount of excitement because they're just joining in. That means the doorbell and the visitors just become simple little cues to your dog that something exciting is going to happen when they hear that doorbell. Next up, it might be happening because your dog just misunderstands what behaviors you like or dislike. Your dog may not realize that you dislike the behavior that they're showing. So I want you just to have a little think and ask yourself a couple of questions here. Have you consistently communicated with them that their behavior that they're doing in that moment is something that you want to stop? And do they truly understand what you're telling them? just have a little think about how often they get to practice this really annoying behavior of barking, even when you're not around. So if they're home alone, what percentage of those times where they've been barking and practicing this behavior have you been able to effectively step in and show your dog that there's a better way? The percentage needs to be very, very high for your dog to really understand that you don't want them to do this behavior and there's better things to do. And finally, the behavior that they're displaying, this barking at the window and the doorbell, it could just be fueled by total self-reward on your dog's part. A brilliant phrase to remember, and this applies to so much stuff, is that dogs do what works for them. And if it works, they repeat it. So if barking at the window makes a potential threat go away, your dog will feel like they've accomplished something. That is self-rewarding behavior because they get what they want and what they like. And what they want and like in that situation is safety and actually the absence of a perceived danger. You could maybe even flip that around, and if your dog is barking because they know that the visitors are going to eventually come in and give them some attention, guess what? They get what they want. The barking worked, the humans came in and we gave them all that fuss and attention just to keep them quiet. So in your dog's mind, that means that the barking worked and they'll have learned that. And next time they're going to repeat the same process to get exactly the same result. So here's a common scenario that I want you to think about and just consider. Picture this in your minds. Just imagine that your Labrador is calmly sat in the living room window, watching the world go by and just generally surveying his land. And all of a sudden, he sees someone that he deems to be suspicious outside. And this suspicious person is going to all of the doors, and your dog perceives them as a risk to his people and his house. So guess what? He barks and barks, and then he barks a little bit more. He's probably barking for two reasons at that point. One is to alert you, and the other is to scare off the suspect person. After a few seconds, that suspect character, they leave. And your dog feels like an absolute hero at that point. He just trots off, goes back to his bed, thinking what a total legend he is for doing such an amazing job of protecting his house and his people. That there is a dog that is being rewarded for his behavior. He achieved his goal and he got exactly what he wanted. He wanted the suspect character to go away, and in his mind, his barking totally achieved that. Your dog doesn't know it was just the postman delivering letters. He has no idea that that postie was no threat at all and that he would have left of his own accord. So that is how self-rewarding behavior can encourage your dog to do it again and again and again. And that self-rewarding behavior can happen every single day, multiple times a week. So where you live, how many times does the postman come? How many days in a row does your dog sit in that window practicing this barking without interruption, without correction, without consequences? How many times a week does he do that and think he's doing the most amazing job looking after his house and his people? I suspect your dog is probably getting an awful lot of practice at doing it. So you start to see that your Labrador isn't just randomly barking. He's doing what he thinks is necessary to protect his home and his family. He gets a huge sense of pride from it. It's just like a job well done. And that behavior will probably become a daily routine just because he's so well practiced in doing it. So now we've got a basic understanding of why this annoying behavior is happening. Now we have to figure out how to change the response that your dog is giving. So let's dip into the short term and then also the longer term steps that you can take to really help change your dog's behaviors and the responses that they give. First of all, in the very, very short term, you need to take some steps to manage the situation so that your dog doesn't get a chance to constantly practice this behavior anymore. Let's face it, if your dog is really that bad, we probably don't want them to practice it and get any better than they already are at this behavior. So we're going to look at short-term management, and that really is essentially finding ways to stop your dog from being triggered in the first place. So there's loads of different things you could do, but here's just a couple of suggestions for you. You might try things like blocking access to windows so that your dog can't have uncontrolled access to watch the world come and go. Or you might play some music or some talk radio just in the background, just to start to block out those unusual sounds from outdoors. It could be that you put a note on your door asking people not to knock or not to ring the bell, but instead just leave that parcel they're delivering, just leave it on the doorstep, and it's going to be perfectly safe. You could even go as far as taking the batteries out of the doorbell so we don't have that sound being made that's going to trigger your dog. Or just ask your friends to call you up on the phone when they arrive rather than ringing the doorbell or knocking on the door. Now, none of these things will alter your dog's emotional response, but it can often be enough to just buy you a little bit of time while you start out on an appropriate training program. So once you've got that short-term management in place that's going to start to reduce the triggers, you then need to start thinking about a much longer-term strategy just to start overcoming it to improve the situation. And as I said at the beginning of this recording, this is very, very broad brushstrokes advice that I'm giving here, and it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. It's just to give you some ideas to go away and work with. So at this point, I also want to revisit something that I said at the very beginning of the podcast. I asked a question: does your dog know that you dislike their behavior in this particular situation? And it'd be interesting to know what conclusion you came to. What do you think? Do you think your dog truly knows that you dislike the behavior they're giving? And how do you communicate that dislike with them? So if they're behaving this way, what are you doing to tell them that it's wrong or you don't want them to carry it on? And if they do carry that behavior on, if it's doing it again and again and again, what's the consequence? Is there a consequence for them that, you know, maybe they don't want to encounter? Just a couple of things for you to think about, because sometimes we assume our dog knows better, but actually when we really think about it in great detail, that they don't know that they're doing wrong. So to dip into that a little bit more, I've used the word consequence in what I'm talking about, and I want to explain that a little more before anyone starts thinking that that means something other than my intention. Dogs don't speak our language. And as a dog in a world where people speak a different language to you, there's a lot of stuff that they need to get their heads around. Life can be pretty confusing for them. And as their carers and their owners and their teachers, it's our job really to make their life as easy and straightforward to understand as possible. A solid way to do that is go really heavy on the rewards, reward the amazing things that they do. But also don't be afraid to let them know really clearly if they're doing things that you dislike and that you don't want to be repeated. And if you do that, really, there's no confusion. It's very black and white with the rules. And you can start to help your dog make really well-informed choices about how they behave in certain situations. This is just helping them create this cause and effect relationship between their behavior and the outcomes that they receive from you. So in very, very simple terms, if they do good stuff, they get results that they like. If they do things that are not particularly wonderful, so bad stuff, they get results that they would prefer not to have. Now, it's so important that I emphasize here, this doesn't involve any form of physical punishment. We are way better than that. But we're talking about using consequences that are effective and focused on guiding your dog towards making better choices. And if we do that, you're not just telling your dog no or stop doing that. You're actually helping them understand that their behavior has a consequence and they can make better choices to achieve more desirable outcomes for them. It's all about positive reinforcement and some very gentle guidance to build a really strong and trusting bond between you and your Labrador. So let's look at what a consequence is. Well, that's going to be different for every dog, every human, every household, every situational scenario. I know plenty of people out there that only have to look at their dog in a certain way to communicate to them that they're being a little bit silly. Some will use an interrupter sound, which is what I do with some of my dogs. And that's simply me going, and that is enough. Some will pop their dog in a timeout if there's a continued behavior of undesirable stuff. Some might take away a toy. Others might make a noise, such as clapping your hands, or simply just saying the word no in a stern voice. Applying consequences does not mean you're abusing your dog. Far, far from it. It's just another way to communicate with them really, really clearly. If you are using consequences, you've got to make sure they're really, really well timed. Make them clear to understand and always show your dog a much better way to do things as an alternative. Hopefully that clears up the consequence element of what I'm talking about. So having dipped into that weird world of consequences for dogs, that really is just a very, very small part of teaching a dog how to make sensible choices that keep everyone safe. The other part is way, way more important. The biggest and most important part is that you must show your dog a better way to behave and reward the heck out of them every time they achieve what you want them to do. So how are we going to show that reactive dog that there are better things to do than barking when they hear the doorbell or when they see a visitor? And that's really just teaching them that when they hear the doorbell, it now means something totally different. As things currently stand in this scenario, it appears that the dog hears the doorbell and sees probably the humans drop everything and run to the door whenever the doorbell rings. So you may have inadvertently taught them that people outside, the doorbell, visitors are fun and worth getting excited about. Or maybe that they've learnt that self-rewarding is pretty good too. You now need to think about what you want your dog to do instead. So for me, I only train Labradors, and I can pretty much guarantee that for every Labrador out there, there is a food type reward that is always going to win over any visitor to the door if you find the correct treat, reward, or food type. Labradors are foodies. We can channel into that without too much of a problem. So for this issue, my favorite alternative behavior to work on is simply to teach the dog that every time they hear a doorbell, it means the most amazing tasty treat is about to be served up somewhere different, somewhere far, far away from the front door. Actually, it's in the utility room or the kitchen or the dining room or the patio out the back of the house. It doesn't matter where, but it's somewhere far away from where they're used to going when they hear the doorbell. So in reality, the way that this is going to work, you're going to always start off with putting your short-term management in place. So that's things like restricting access to windows, playing music, putting a note on your door, and all that good stuff that I've already spoken about. Then you're going to need to prepare a stash of the most amazing food rewards and keep them in your kitchen or the place where you want your dog to go to as an alternative. Now, these amazing food rewards should only be used for doorbell training, and that's going to keep them special. When I train my own Labradors this, I personally have a bunch of licky mats available, and they've already got liver paste or peanut butter and they're in the top drawer of the freezer, ready for if I just need to grab one quickly. Whatever the treat is that your dog's going to go crazy for, I want you to make sure you have it easily accessible, a huge, plentiful supply, and also in a form that you can just deliver to your dog super quick. If you're making your dog wait for even 30 seconds to get that treat, it's not going to work. The moment will have passed. So make sure whatever it is, it's instantly accessible and you can shove it right underneath your dog's nose and they can enjoy it immediately. Now, if you have a doorbell that you can control from your phone, so lots of the smart doorbells are good for this, that is absolutely perfect. If you haven't, don't worry. You just need to get a neighbor, friend, family, someone that walks their dog down the street, anyone like that. You're going to have to rope them in to help you out occasionally. So as frequently as you can manage, and you can do this many times a day if time allows, get that doorbell ringing. But instead of instantly jumping up and heading to the door, I want you to jump up, run to the kitchen like an absolute lunatic, and be so exciting. Just encourage your Labrador to follow you all the way to the kitchen. Get them really excited to be running away from the doorbell into this place that you want them to go to instead. You're going to guide your dog to the place where you want them to be. So kitchen cupboard, fridge, freezer. And at that point, you want to produce instantly the most amazing treat that is going to get them excited. It's going to get them salivating. It's going to want them, going to get them wanting to eat it immediately in that location. But whatever you do, don't go to the door. Do not go to that front door. Just let your dog have their treat. And once they've finished it, get back to normal as if nothing had ever happened. Just pretend that doorbell didn't make a noise. Go back to the sofa. Go and carry on working or whatever you would normally do. Because this process is about showing your dog that the doorbell now means that they get the most amazing free treat in a different room. It's never a cue that something exciting is happening at the door or at the window or on the driveway. Now, trying this once or twice and then giving up is probably what's likely to happen for a lot of people. They'll go, well, I did it twice and it didn't work. My dog was still reacting to the doorbell. The thing to remember is your dog has practiced their annoying, frustrating behavior of barking at the doorbell, running to the door for months or possibly even years. So you're going to need to practice this a lot. You're going to need to rinse and repeat the process every single day until you start to see that when the doorbell rings, your Labrador's instinct is to head straight to that kitchen instead of the door. When you notice that happening and you're really starting to crack it, that's the point where we want to start to maybe introduce actual people coming through the front door and put that into the mix as well. So if the doorbell rings, you're still going to run to the kitchen. You're going to give your dog that most amazing treat by the fridge. As they're tucking into that treat in the kitchen, occasionally just creep off to the front door, let someone in. Your visitors are in the house. But make sure those visitors are briefed. They are not there to provide excitement to the dog. They're actually there just to ignore your dog and allow your dog to really enjoy his treat in peace and quiet whilst remaining calm around those visitors that you've suddenly got in the house. Now, as I said at the beginning, I don't know the dog in question, so I don't know what has been tried before. This method may work, certainly works for an awful lot of dogs out there, or it may require something a little bit different. And that's very much going to depend on the dog's emotions, their learned behaviours, and their understanding of rewards and consequences. If you've got a problem of your dog overreacting to the doorbell, I hope this information I've given you is just gives you some things to think about and go away and work on. But as always, if you need more specific advice or training, you can take part in online or in-person training with us at Tales of Success Labrador Training. And you'll find all the information at talesofsuccess.com or email us at hello@talesofsuccess.com. And we'll be happy to guide you, support you, and point you in the right direction with your training. Thanks for joining us. Find out more by checking out talesofsuccess.com or search at Tales Success on your social channels.